All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Bomani Jones, Izzy Gutierrez, Clinton Yates. Y'all ready? No, stop doing that.
Did last night's win over the Clippers change your opinion of the Nets?
Oh, are we going to start treating the Nets like they're the big three Miami Heat, where we're going to go every game with an analysis as to whether or not they are a championship contender? All right, look, what do we think about the Nets going into this game, which was 124-120, and they won? Good for them. That they are one of the best offensive teams in the league, maybe one of the best offensive teams we've ever seen, and one of the worst defensive teams that we've ever seen. The only reason this game really felt that much different than the Wizards game is, A, the Clippers are a bit better of an opponent, and this time the game was in the 120s and not in the 140s. The 120s and the 140s are really kind of sort of the same when you're talking about both offense and defense. No, they are what they are. Maybe the most entertaining team that we're going to see, because it looks like NBA Jam. It's going to be a whole lot of points, and it's probably going to be close late.
Yeah, I'm a little offended by the question because I'm not sure if I was clear what my opinion was on the Brooklyn Nets, because these big threes all sort of create their own animals, right? We see how they develop throughout the year. And this trio, it is obvious they're going to be an offensive juggernaut. But when you look at them individually, it's interesting if you just break them down. It seems like they're falling into place right now. Kyrie, to me, and you guys might argue with this, he's the most skilled of the three. I mean, Kevin Durant has the advantage of his height, but Kyrie, with his skills, is absolutely the best of the three. And he could take advantage of that. He also has the most to prove of the three. He does not have an MVP. He was not the leading man or the finals MVP in his one championship. And it just feels like he's got a lot to prove. And given that he is the point guard, will do a lot of that handling and can show off like that anytime he wants. James already seems to be sort of filling in the gaps with the rebounds and the assist and not taking a ton of jumpers. And the thing I love about Kevin Durant is it's almost like what he did in Golden State. It's, hey, when you need me, I'll be unstoppable. Last night, 11 for 13 was not the main attraction, but 11 for 13. You put those three together, and it might not even matter that Jeff Green and DeAndre Jordan are their bigs.
Did you say a bit better than the opponent? That's like saying that Izzy is a bit more muscular than he was in high school, or you have like a bit more hair on your head than you did 2 years ago. The Wizards are the worst team in the NBA by a mile. Okay, and they lost that game. The fact that they actually won this one and they managed to do it with some crunch time ability that involves some defense as well at the end of that game, look, this was an impressive win to me because this shows me that this team knows they can get it together when they have to. For all the points that they score and all the defense that they, you know, can't play, my main concern with Nash being the head coach is that they're just not going to know how to turn it on when it actually matters, because that's just not something that rookie coaches are that big into inspiring. So for me, this was a massive win. Okay, as far as they're concerned, because the Clippers are a fantastic opponent versus the Wizards, who are complete garbage.
Hold on, Clinton. They were trying to give that game away late. Like, you're acting like they got steely and all of a sudden were slapping the floor and shutting it down.
No,
they were begging to find a way to lose that game.
They had to do it, they did it. They're going to miss Jared Allen a lot.
Yes.
And as far as those three guys, the big three, that can actually do what they do, they managed to do it. And they ran a nice little press break when they had to keep the ball at the end of the game.
Look. This segment has spawned the most disagreement, I think, for me, where I've been like, I don't agree with anybody that I'm talking to right now. Like, as you talk about Kyrie having something to prove, that's the worst thing in the world for the Nets. Kevin Durant going 11 for 13 and scoring 28 points. Kyrie Irving scored all those points, but he was out there like, yeah, I have something to prove. Kevin Durant should always shoot more than 13 shots, period, right? Like, if Kyrie's out there trying to show the world that he's the number one player on a team where he is the third best player, where the most skilled player is Kevin Durant, Kyrie is just more entertaining to watch because he's little dude doing ball handling stuff. If they're going to be out here with Kyrie shooting in the 20s and Kevin Durant shooting in the mid-teens in field goal attempts, they're not going to get this done, because that is hustling backwards.
All right, we can agree to disagree on the Kyrie versus Kevin Durant thing, because I think Kevin Durant's height is a gift that Kyrie Irving does not have, and he has to be more skilled in order to be as good as he is. But I'll say this again. Defense might not matter. We've seen a couple of times where teams not in the top 10 in defensive rating have won a championship. And again, these things all evolve and become their own animal. There's this one clip, and I loved it, of James Harden isolating against Morris, and he punched him in the face, basically. It was an offensive foul, but that's what it feels like when you're guarding those guys. Paul George lamented after the game. He was like, it was good defense against all that one-on-one, and they still hit those shots. When they say they can turn it on, it's not going to be on the defensive end. It's going to be, hey, if this game is close, we know we're going to win because we can get that shot whenever we want and make that shot whenever we want. And they have three of those guys, and nobody else has that.
Why they know they're going to win? You say we know we gonna win. Why they know they gonna win? I don't know they gonna win. I don't. If there's anything, we don't know. And I hope Kyrie, the man who thinks all those crazy things in the world and don't believe no facts, I hope he don't pretend like he knows this.
I'm sorry, Kyrie has a ring. He hit the shot. KD has two MVP trophies from the finals. They know they can win because they got the silverware on the trophy.
Do the Raiders make sense for Deshaun Watson?
Okay, the Las Vegas Review-Journal had a story that broke this idea out. Apparently, Derek Carr is a hot commodity for trade, even though I didn't know that anybody was available for trade from the Raiders, but whatever. Okay, but the plan is maybe the Raiders can take Derek Carr and trade him for two first-round picks. They can take those two first-round picks, package them with two first-round picks of their own, and that would be the way that they wind up getting Deshaun Watson. Now, do the Raiders make sense for Watson? And not really. Like, if your issue in Houston is the ownership situation, you probably would want to go to a team that has an ownership situation that you think is good and sturdy. I don't know if the Raiders are that situation. Like, you could do a whole lot worse, but being over there and being stuck on a team where you are the offense, you score a lot of points, but you give up a zillion points, that could be your future going there. I don't know. But for the Raiders, does it make sense? If you could turn Derek Carr and two first-round picks into 25-year-old Deshaun Watson, you do that in a heartbeat.
Hold on. You're going to tell me that leaving Houston with a terrible head coach who is also a terrible GM that is not, you know what I'm saying, necessarily what we call a bastion of NFL stability, to go to a franchise that's got a new stadium and a fun place that gave a coach $100 million? Is that a better situation?
That wasn't the question. They asked
I'm answering
if it was
what
good
I choose to. I'll take Vegas over Houston every single day of the week and five times on Sunday, unless I'm going to a strip club or I'm trying to get my money stolen from an old white guy who's working in a financial firm. Absolutely go to Vegas. This makes so much more sense than where he is right now for me for a lot of different reasons. I just feel like if you're a guy like Gruden as well, you want him to. Yes, I would do it if I was Deshaun.
I don't know if the organization is that much better, to Bo's point, but I do think the idea of just going to play for John Gruden and just his offensive want to, I think would be good for Deshaun Watson individually. Not that he needs anymore. Everybody knows how good of a quarterback he is, but it would just be a different feeling, some sort of breath of fresh air if it's not a Super Bowl contending team just yet. But this to me sort of feels like, and John Gruden spoke about this on a podcast, feels like the Houston Texans are just going to play hardball with Deshaun Watson. It doesn't seem like they are willing to trade him. Just because he has a no trade clause does not mean they have to trade him. He can just decide where he goes if they're willing to. So, you know, if they are not taking calls from teams, if, as Gruden said, that compensation might be too much for a team and, you know, giving up everything just for the quarterback, and maybe they're back in the Houston Texans situation that they wouldn't want to be in. All that makes me feel like the Houston Texans are going to play hardball and they're going to force Deshaun Watson to make a decision about whether he's going to play this year. I think the Raiders can set themselves up to make that trade if it's available, but I'm starting to think Deshaun Watson is going to have a heck of a fight on his hands.
Yeah, Clinton, look here. If it is the Texans or the Raiders or nothing, then maybe you have an argument there for the Raiders. However, if there's a robust trade market for Derek Carr, something tells me there are going to be more teams than the Raiders that Deshaun Watson could maybe go to. I might want to see what else is out there before I go sign up for an owner with a terrible haircut.
Yes, baby.
Are you with Jared Goff that the Lions are a better spot for him?
All right, under the heading of what else are you supposed to say, Jared Goff talked to the LA Times about being traded. He said he doesn't know quite when it went sour for him with Los Angeles. But, yeah, he says that the Lions are a better place for him to be. And, yeah, if your coach thinks you're not good and now you're going somewhere where at least the general manager's on board with you, yeah, that will probably be a better situation for you. Bottom line is, none of us really know if Jared Goff is good. I think there are more people confident that he's bad than there are people confident that he's good, which means probably he's just an average NFL quarterback. But we don't have any way in our discourse to really discuss average NFL quarterbacks. Either you're a franchise quarterback or you're a bum. And you know what he is? Just a guy.
So my initial impression of Jared Goff goes back to his rookie season on Hard Knocks, where he didn't know where the sun sets and rises, which direction. And so when I think of that, and I think of him going to Detroit with the cannibal head coach who wants his players to eat kneecaps, I think this is a win for the, you know, don't think, just play delegation. And perhaps Jared Goff isn't a place where things can be simplified to the point where he can thrive and maybe take advantage of some of the things that McVay had taught him over the past. But yeah, what else is he going to say? To me, the most interesting part is, when exactly did it get so sour in L.A.? When did it, and this is a question for the new L.A. native, Clinton Yates over here, but when did it get so bad that Les Snead is just dogging him after the season, where McVay is just basically doing the same thing, saying, he's our quarterback right now, but not really. Like, it's one thing to be frustrated with your quarterback because he keeps turning the ball over, but to just go like that from midseason and just get nasty with him toward by the end of the season, it's clearly a divorce where everybody's saying they're happier. That happened right before our eyes, and I don't know if we actually saw it, did we?
You know how sometimes you make a hasty decision on something like you didn't necessarily want, but you felt in that moment you had to have it. But then when it goes wrong, you act like it was never supposed to be in the first place. This is what's happening. They should have never given him all that money to begin with, okay? You should have let Goff play out his 5-year contract with the Rams and seen whether or not, Bo, he turned into that franchise guy or that bum, because what you turned out you got was just a boring dude who doesn't take a lot of chances, which is exactly why Detroit is a perfect place for him and why I would not rather be there. Boring place, not a lot of chances to be taken. So overall, I think the fault here is on the Rams as to why they couldn't figure that out. Jared, sure, say whatever you like. I don't think that we have to anoint him or destroy him. I think he is an average NFL quarterback, which is exactly why the Lions make sense for him to be.
Yeah, let me tell you what, he ain't average, though. The bank. Like, I understand every emotional feeling that he might have because the money doesn't actually make you any happier. I totally get that. But Jared Goff, my man, you need to be playing your games with one of them shields over your face on the field, man, because you are a robber. Like, you are a bandit. You have made maybe more money relative to actual skill than anybody in the NFL, and I might be including Kirk Cousins.
Up next on HQ.
The world does not need another hero. Can we also pull...
Hold on.
Do you question if this deserved a technical?
Hey, Baylor, number two team in the poll, might be the number one team in the country. Not coincidentally, they don't play as much of that damn zone as they used to. They played Texas last night. Texas ranked number 6. Let's get a look at this from the second half. That's from Texas, and oh.
Ooh. In college, that's a technical foul.
They teched him for that.
Yep. I think the game turned on this, too.
Oof. The worst thing about college technical fouls is that you get 2 shots and you get hit with a personal foul under those circumstances. And I can conclude that if you called a technical foul in that situation, there is only one reason. You yourself have never dunked a basketball on a 10-foot goal. Nobody that has ever felt the goodness of holding the rim on a 10-foot goal after dunking the ball would ever call a technical foul on something like that in that situation.
At what point do we start deciding that, like, college kids needed to be coddled like this? Like, I don't even understand what the purpose is here. Are we going to assume that there's going to be some huge brawl later down the line because somebody got banged on in the paint? Like, I don't even get why we're this far into it. He looked at him funny. He gave him a little flex. What else are we there for if you can't do that after you yam on someone? I don't even understand. What's going on here?
It's the opposite of what it should be. They're supposed to be more sportsmanlike, when I think college students should have more leeway on this stuff. A, agreed. They haven't done it as much as the pros. Certainly haven't done it on national TV as much as the pros. And they're used to it, man. That's what you do growing up. You just talk smack back and forth. And when you get dunked on like that, you just take it. You don't get a technical foul for that. Come on.
All right. Now we got this from the SEC, and this was not called a technical foul. To
in the SEC.
Here we go.
We're a little cooler about these.
Here we go. I understand why they didn't call the technical foul. It's because it was dude's own damn fault. The world does not need another hero. Can we also pull?
Hold on.
Can we see that again?
Sidebar. I don't even know what this is. Is this a doorbell? What's happening?
Okay, so he gets the steal. He comes back through. He takes off from outside the lane. Oh, you know what? That wasn't – okay. So the problem there was not that it was his own damn fault. Why are you trying to block this with your left hand? Use your right hand. That was stupid. That was completely stupid. He put himself completely out of position. Hold on. I want to see that again. I swear to God.
I mean, Clinton's still doing the show by himself.
I don't care. I'm thinking about this aloud. I do not care.
The best thing that's happened.
Look at this. Why are you using your left hand? Swipe with your right and get out of the way. Oh.
So what we have, Bo? What was the delivery?
Do you question if this assistant coach deserves credit for trying?
All right, we're going out to Indiana high school basketball. And just because it's Indiana high school basketball, hot take, Hoosiers, the most overrated sports movie of all time. Let's get a look at this. Here's Stewart running the baseline. He gets
called for the walk. Rumors in Indiana high school basketball.
Oh, I did not expect this to be the part of Indiana with the high school basketball.
I was going to say, are we in the correct state here?
That's a good save by that assistant coach. Oh,
oh
no.
Whoa, whoa. He threw the court. He threw the chair out there?
That's legal in Indiana.
I mean, he tried to throw the first one. It got held back. No self-control. Threw the second one. Third one got it from him.
Okay, that's what's up. Clint, it is interesting that you mentioned that. Like, Bobby Knight was a hero for making that move. I don't feel like this man is going to get that same treatment.
Not going to lie. When you said Indiana high school basketball, I was expecting things to look a little different, y'all. That was very much a surprise on a lot of levels. Both of those teams look like us, Bo. I was expecting maybe one, not both.
Little tip for the Indiana folks. High school, college, you guys can take this too. A bench. One long bench that cannot be picked up when people are sitting on it so that a head coach won't throw the chair onto the court. Try a bench. You're welcome.
I've seen benches get thrown at high school basketball games.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, then we're done.
Yeah, you just can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, that's the thing is that you got to get your mans on it. It's not good.
In Tampa, Super Bowl media availability.
All right, now we are going to go out to some clips. Here is Scotty Miller, who people have to realize is very, very fast. And here he is using the kind of attitude that powered Christian Leighton to college basketball stardom.
How would you do if you and Tyreek Hill lined up?
Oh, I'm taking me every day of the week. I'll take me over anybody. Tyreek is unbelievable, super quick, unbelievable talent. But if we're talking about race, I mean, I got all the confidence in myself against going up against anybody.
Wait, you think you're the fastest guy in the NFL?
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? He ain't scared of nobody. That's how he got to where he was. Now here's Tyreek Hill with his response.
I feel like Scotty answered that question the right way. You know, I feel like if somebody asked Luke, hey, Luke, are you faster than Tyreek? You know, or hey, Rob, are you faster than Tyreek? Your answer should be yes. I'm that confident in myself that I'm faster than Tyreek, you know? That's any man. I don't care who you are. Like you like that. Like so Scotty answered that question the right way. But do I think he's faster than me? I don't know. Maybe we can do something during halftime or something like that. I'm gonna line it up for us.
That dude saying that in that way is like when somebody starts something with a dude at a bar and the dude responds, "Look, man, I don't really want to fight you." Which is to say, you don't want to fight me. Izzy, are you intrigued?
This is the closest look I've gotten at Scotty Miller. I didn't realize he kind of looks like Johnny Manziel here. But did you hear the little dig, the extra dig that Scotty Miller made? He's like, oh yeah, Tyreek, super quick. Yeah, we know he's quick, but he's not straight line faster than me, right? Come on, that's what they always give you. My money's on Tyreek Hill every time, and that's probably because this is the first time I've gotten a good look at Scotty Miller.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the other reason. Clinton, are you intrigued?
Yeah, but hold on. Can we see this again? I'm not intrigued by anything any of these individuals have to say. The home decor here, what's going on in the background of Scotty Miller's setup? I need to see this. He's got like the cursive on the walls. It's like a live, love, laugh situation. What is that? What does that say back there? What does he have on his walls? This is very interesting. This is not the decor I was expecting from Scotty Miller in his look. This is much more elegant and sophisticated than I was looking for. You can see it in the reflection. Okay, I see you, Scotty.
Wait, is he in his bathroom?
He might be. I see you, Scotty. Okay, that's decent interior design for my money.
I don't know what it says, but I'm pretty sure it's Italian.
What an amazing level of passion about something I didn't give a damn bit of thought to.
At my walls. I care about what's on people's walls.
On ESPN Plus, Peyton's Places.
All right, Peyton Manning talks to Kurt Russell, who's still in the league, in case you did not know. And they're going to talk about Kurt Russell's football fandom.
You know, because I wasn't a player, I didn't really get into football until, and this is, you know, it's a little embarrassing, but I started to watch this guy, Tom Brady.
All right, that'll do it. Cut it short. You know, now you have to be the quarterback and torn rotator cuff.
That was the problem.
That's not easy to throw anything, much less a football.
The only thing that saved me was it's a slightly smaller ball and kind of softened a little bit so I could get on top of it.
Kind of like the Patriots, yeah.
I got
Yeah, I love how Peyton Manning tries to joke off all the petty that he has toward all these people. And we're like, nah, dog, we don't believe you. You need more people. Clinton, are you intrigued?
No, because when I see Kurt Russell talking about sports, baseball is the one that comes to mind. If you don't remember, he played for the Portland Mavericks. His dad owned the Portland Mavericks. And he was just a heck of a guy in actual baseball history. If you don't know that, check it out for yourself. The Battered Bastards of baseball.
Yeah, you guys do that. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I did not know that, and I will not check it out, Clinton. I am just here to say, yes, I am intrigued. My favorite Kurt Russell movie was Overboard. What about you guys?
Wasn't he in Tango and Cash? Was he Cash?
He was one of those two. Not as
wasn't
good
he
as
also
Overboard.
In Tombstone?
Goldie Hawn was amazing.
He was in Tombstone. That was a very good movie. All right, that is the show. Check out Clinton Yates, theundefeated.com. He's got a column on the Cubs. Hey, man, don't be pointing no gun at me.
Violence.
Now you scared of the Nerf?
I am a man of principle. Izzy going on vacation or something. Hey, man, you should know better than that. All right, welcome to Highly...
Wait. Sorry about that. Sorry. Okay. We got to do a new close, too, because that's not next week. It's the week after. And then...
I don't think that one matters.
Okay,
I don't think my part. We're not going to be able to reproduce right, nobody, me looking at Clinton pulling the heat out.
True.